Here we go. It's Thursday, and you know what time it is. That's right. It's time for another edition of the 2-2 Podcast. Listen, I'm so glad and grateful you could join me today. We are continuing our series entitled Mixtape, and I don't want you to miss a moment of it. So you know the move. Grab your friends. Grab your family. Grab your coworkers. Grab those people you don't like. Don't forget your notebook, your iPad, your laptop. Whatever you need to take notes, it's going to be a good one today. Don't miss a moment of it. See you in a minute. Well, what's going on, everybody? Good afternoon and welcome to today's 2-2 Podcast episode. Before we get started, I want to thank all of you for being so supportive. Even in the midst of change. I know change can be kind of weird at times, but again, I can't thank you all enough. If you didn't hear, I've changed the schedule just a little bit to accommodate for scheduling because I will be back in the schools doing what I love to do most, and that is touching the lives of so many young people and, you know, being a voice, being a mentor, being a role model, being an example, if you will, to countless young people, or excuse me, younger people. And so I can't wait to get back in there and do what I do. Like I said, if you didn't hear that, we changed it to just Thursday episodes only, but just because we aren't doing them two times a week doesn't mean the power is going to be gone. We still gonna give you the best that I got, and I'm still gonna give you the best I got at all times. I told you, I'm like Anita Baker. We're gonna do it. And listen, again, thank you for your support of that. Also, thank you for your support of last week's episode. I Can't Stop. It's been very well received, as well as the previous two episodes, Bear With Me and Bad Blood. I'm still hearing some responses, and I'm still getting some positive feedback from those episodes, and I appreciate every bit of feedback that I've been getting for those. Again, thank you. Hey, we hit a milestone. We are officially at 5,100. Total plays on the 2-2 Podcast. Again, thank you all for your love and support of this show. I can't say it enough. It's humbling. It's an honor. It's a privilege to be in front of this mic, speaking to you, giving you what I know. I want to thank you all for allowing me to be transparent. And allowing me to be, you know, just be me and tell my story through the gifts of podcasting. So again, thank you for your support of this show. And listen, let's do what we do. Hey, if it's your first time or your first time in a long time, welcome and welcome back. I pray that in these next few moments, say something that speaks to your storm, speaks to your struggle, speaks to your situation. I strive to be three things on this show and in life, and that is authentic, transparent, and informal. And I pray that within these next few moments, that within these three pillars of my life in this show, that I say something that supercharges you, that energizes you, that encourages you, that makes you say enough is enough with struggle, that causes you to say enough is enough with the chains that I've been bound by for years, that causes you to say I'm going to break every generational curse that has been tied to me and my bloodline and the future of my bloodline. And I promise to be one thing, and say it with me if you've been with me since I've said this the first time. I'm like Anita Baker. Miss Anita Baker, I'm going to give you the best that I got at all times. So again, thank you for joining me if it's your first time or your first time in a long time. Here we go. So we are continuing our series entitled Mixtape, as you heard on the intro, and it's been a very popular series, and again, thank you for your support of that. We are wrapping it up because we got a brand new series coming up later in the month of September going into October, and that is about family. I have titled this particular series that's coming in the next few weeks, Family Matters. We got to have a talk about family. We got to talk about some things that plague our family. We've talked about generational curses on this show. We've talked about a lot of stuff. We've talked about how family treats us. We've talked about that, but we wouldn't. Let's talk a little deeper. We're gonna get a little bit deeper into some family issues, and how we can say enough is enough with these issues and become better, or you know, remove some people or move away from some family members who choose not to be positive or choose not to go any further. Or, I mean, choose not to change, if you will. So stay tuned for the announcement for that. All right. So today I wanted to have a little conversation about anxiety. If you know me, you've heard me tell stories about my battles with anxiety. It is for anybody that's ever dealt with anxiety issues, it's hard to explain to people, because for those that are, I don't want to, and I say this with caution. I don't like the name call. For those who are ignorant to what anxiety is, they'll think that having an anxiety attack is all on the surface. It's being, you know, or they'll think you're being histrionic, or you're overthinking, or you're doing. Anxiety attacks can, you know, you can overthink. I know with mine, I tend to overanalyze and overthink, or I kind of have a sense of, oh, this is the end. This is doomsday. This is I've ruined everything. I can't even believe it. They're gonna hate me after this. They're gonna never talk to me again. And it is, for anybody that doesn't understand anxiety attacks or anxiety in general, believe me when I say this, it is not just the surface. I know I've had anxiety attacks where on the outside I'm joyful, but on the inside I'm in panic. I'm in utter panic. I told a story about the biggest one I've ever had. I was coaching a basketball game a couple years ago, and I'm into the game, and usually I'm a very calm, cool, collected, energized, positive individual. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just out of thin air, something just snapped. Something just happened. And I just wasn't there for the rest of the game. I couldn't, you know, emotionally, I just wasn't there. And, you know, couldn't really explain it. Don't know how it happened. It's just happened. And it took me a couple of days to really get over it and really kind of calm down and relax and realize it wasn't the end all be all, you know? Or I didn't ruin anything, or I messed up something, or I it just happened. And finally having somebody to kind of, tell me, hey, everything's gonna be all right. It's not the end. It's not, it's you're not ruined. You're not a bad person. And finally figuring out that, you know what, enough was enough. That I was gonna find a way to combat these anxiety attacks. That I was going to do whatever it took, do whatever it took to really take a focus, to really focus on mental health, to focus on, being mentally whole. Focus on, really having a contingency plan when I have an anxiety attack, when anxiety attacks. Which ironically, funny story, I did something on Instagram. I was a long time ago, before I even thought about doing a podcast, I was a bit in the process of writing a thing that I wanted to teach to kids about anxiety called When Anxiety Attacks. But this was a little more fitting based on the fact that we've been doing this series called Mixtape. One of my favorite songs is by Ginuwine, and it's called So Anxious. And now you're sitting there and thinking, listen, okay, he's talking about a girl coming over, and it's 10:10, where you been? You say you're working, well, hit me when soon as your shift is over, because I've been waiting. I get and it may be that, but the anxiety is a crazy thing, especially whether it's when you're waiting on somebody to get there, you're waiting on food, you're waiting on an answer, you're waiting on somebody to you're just overanalyzing. What if they don't show up? What if the food doesn't come? What if they ate all my food? Shout out to those couriers who eat people's food before they deliver it. Yeah, I'm talking to you. It's so much anxiety. What if we don't, like, in my one of my professions with sports, what if we don't win? What if we don't do well? What if this keeps happening? What if they don't get better? It's a lot of overanalyzation, overanalysis, and let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about first the types of anxiety. I know the intro was very long, but whatever. We're just talking today. So let's talk about the five types of anxiety and go from there. All right. Sound good? Let's go, family. The first one is generalized anxiety disorder, GAD. And I'm getting this from HHS.gov. That is HHS.gov. What are the article is called, What Are the Five Major Types of Anxiety Disorders? Okay, the first is, again, generalized anxiety disorder. And what this is, and what this is defined as, is it's an anxiety disorder characterized by chronic anxiety, exaggerated worry, or tension, even when there's little or nothing to provoke it. Again, is a chronic anxiety, is characterized and categorized by chronic anxiety, exaggerated worry, and tension, even when there's little or nothing to provoke it. Generalized, when you're over and when you're overanalyzing things, when you're overthinking. What if I ruin things? This is me. This was me. Generalized anxiety disorder. No, just overthinking things. Nothing provoked it. It just came out of nowhere. I had one that had something similar. It was a mild case where I lost the basketball game by the most points that I've ever lost a basketball game. I'm not going to tell you the score. We're not going to do that, but it was, every time. But at that point, it was little, like the little things. It was just seeing a basketball gave me anxiety for a few days. Watching basketball gave me anxiety for a few days. I really didn't want to coach a game or anything like that for a while. I didn't want to coach a practice. I wanted to cancel practice. I was just, my anxiety was through the roof. And you might think, oh, well, looking at a basketball made you anxious. Well, you have this one thing that happens, and then all of a sudden it's just like the littlest things, the smallest things, the most minuscule things cause these megaton explosions, these megaton anxiety attacks. They just come out of nowhere. And I mean, these are the ones oftentimes where people think you're being histrionic or you're overreacting. It's not all that. It's not that serious. Da, 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 da. Why are you acting that way? Why are you being weird? And people who deal with generalized anxiety disorder shouldn't have to worry about somebody who, instead of being supportive and consoling them and making sure that they're calm and they're they're level back at a decent level mentally and physically, and they're not overloading themselves. They would rather tell them that it's not that serious, it's not all that. They'd rather scold them for having the anxiety attack. And I want to say this while I'm here, that we need more people who will come behind people who deal with anxiety to be there, to be, hold them accountable, to make sure that they are all right, to check on them, to make sure that they are making mental health a pri taking their mental health seriously, to make sure that they are taking that they are resting and relaxing and clearing their mind, doing the necessary things so they're not overloaded and bombarded with these little things that become big things to cause anxiety. So generalize anxiety disorder, again, is over character is characterized by exaggerated worry and tension, even when there's little or nothing to provoke it. This next one, a lot of people have, is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD, and that is an anxiety disorder and is characterized by recurrent and unwanted thoughts, obsessions, and or repetitive behaviors, compulsions. Repetitive behaviors such as hand washing, counting, checking, or cleaning are often performed with the hope of preventing obsessive thoughts or making them go away. Performing these so-called rituals, however, provides only temporary relief, and not performing them markedly increases anxiety. Repetitive behaviors such as hand washing, counting, checking, or cleaning are often performed with the hope of preventing obsessive thoughts or making them go away. Here's the part right here. Performing these so-called rituals, however, provides only temporary relief. Not only performing them markedly increases anxiety. You know where you get OCD the most? Working retail. Anybody, show of hands, who's ever worked retail, or who is currently working retail, can attest to this, that you get a form of retail OCD. One of my part-time jobs is retail. I have a part-time job doing retail. I've had that same job for almost 10 years. And let me tell you something, the one thing badgers me the most, that gives me the most anxiety, is when somebody takes a shoe. You go to the store, or like you go to a store like a Walmart or Target, and there's shoes on the peg, like those shoes on the peg, flip-flops, fake Crocs, slides, all that, what have you. And people try them on. But instead of putting them back on the pegs themselves, what do? They put them on the floor or on the base deck of a rack. Instead of putting them where they're supposed to go. Or, better yet, somebody will take a shirt that doesn't belong in this pile of shirts and they'll put it in the wrong on the wrong place. Or, better yet, here we go. Somebody will leave, if you go to Walmart, some people will leave the cooler door open. And if you work retail, you'll understand this. That will irk your nerves and you'll close the door. Or you'll see something on the ground that doesn't belong on the ground and you'll pick it up and put it back. You get a level of OCD working retail. Oh my goodness. You become very obsessive compulsive. You see the slightest abnormality in a store, even when you're not working, and all of a sudden you just have to fix this. This has to be done. I have to fix this because if it doesn't get fixed, somebody's going to get in trouble, and that doesn't need to happen. And you're just like, wait, but then you have to catch yourself because it's like, oh, I don't work here. Why am I doing this? Why am I fixing somebody else's mess at the same time? But it's just like, even if you go there, you're still thinking about, what if I don't do this? What if this happened at my job and somebody didn't pick it up? What would I do? How would I feel? And so you find yourself going back to that spot, picking it up. OCD is a magnanimous thing. It is a big deal. It's one thing you just, it's hard to get over sometimes, because everything has to be right, and if it's not right, then you're in a panic. You're anxiety. You start, in my case, you just start getting a little antsy and skittish, and you're jumpy and all this stuff. In my case, OCD is a big deal. And like I said, it is part, you get it a lot working retail. All right, next up, panic disorder. Panic disorder is characterized as an anxiety disorder by unexpected and repeated episodes of intense fear, accompanied by physical symptoms that may include chest pain, heart palpitations, shortness of breath, dizziness, or abdominal distress. Panic disorder is intense fear accompanied by physical symptoms that include chest pains, heart palpitations, shortness of breath, dizziness, or abdominal distress. Have you ever been in a situation that you had to do something big? You had to play in a really big game. You had to have a really big speech in front of a lot of people. You had to sing in front of a lot of people. And this coincides with another one, I believe, personally, that this is me, but I'm not the major expert on this. I just know, based on my experience, when you're fearful to do something, and then you're faced with the idea and the opportunity of doing it, this comes out of nowhere. This comes out of the blue. This is a big deal. Panic disorder. It will cause you to have chest tightness. It will cause you to be short of breath. Being fearful to do something. Being fearful of being of being in front of people, and you, it's a big deal. And or better yet, test taking will cause you to have panic disorder. Has anybody panicked about a test or an exam that they had to do, and all of a sudden it's caused you to, the closer you get to it, and closer you get to it, it causes you to panic and panic tight in the chest and shortness of breath, and you can't do it. You feel sick to your stomach. The closer you get, the sicker you feel. Panic disorder. What if I don't pass this test? What if I don't do well? What if my alarm, what if I didn't set my alarm? What if I don't do this right? What if I don't make this shot? What if I mess up? What if I do this? Oh my goodness, I'm feeling sick to my stomach right now. We've all had a moment of panic. Or when you lose somebody, lose a child. A child has run off and you can't find them. That moment of panic. When you can't find your child, when you can't find your kid, find somebody, you just don't know where they went. Panic disorder is prevalent in a majority of people. We've all had a moment of panic. The third one. Oh, I'm sorry. The fourth one, and we're coming down the line here. Post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, is an anxiety disorder that can develop after exposure to a terrifying event or ordeal in which grave physical harm occurred or was threatened. Traumatic events may trigger PTSD, include violent personal assaults, natural or human-caused disasters, accidents, or military combat. We hear about PTSD and a lot of people that were in the military who were in combat. We oftentimes hear the warnings around the 4th of July for people to stop shooting fireworks around veterans' homes because of PTSD. And I believe that needs to stop. I believe that people need to stop shooting fireworks around homes where you know that there are veterans that suffer from PTSD from having to deal with mortar shells, bombs, and rockets, and gunfire. You gotta stop. PTSD can come from traumatic events, the times of abuse, violent behavior, that violence that has been brought upon a person. It will cause you to be jumpy. It will cause you to freak out a little bit. When you've been abused, when you've been hit and slapped and hurt physically. PTSD is a huge, huge situation in people that have been abused in a great way, where they don't like being, you know, grabbed, you know, pat on the shoulders. They jump. Or you try to give them a hug and they jump. Or you try to fist bump them or give them a high five and they jump. Or you say hello to them and they jump. PTSD can be very debilitating. It can be very, very disheartening. It can take you out of your element. It could take you, it could be an out-of-body experience. It's a horrible experience. And it goes without saying that when you've been through a very traumatic experience, whether that's been a traumatic childhood or a traumatic relationship, a traumatic traumatic marriage, a traumatic friendship, just traumatic experiences, period. PTSD comes in and messes with everything. The littlest thing triggers you. A movie where somebody's being smacked around, you have to turn the movie off. You have to turn the show off because it triggers you. Because you were in that place at one point. Or you see somebody get, you see a child being yelled at and hollered at and screamed at and threatened, and it triggers you. You see a kid being spanked and it triggers you. The littlest things that we see will trigger PTSD. And finally, social phobia or social anxiety disorder. If you don't know about me, I am an ambivert. What is an ambivert, you may ask? An ambivert is not really a extrovert, nor is it an introvert. It's just in the middle, where you enjoy the company of people, but then again, there are some days where you just don't. Where you want to talk to people, but there are some days you don't. You want to be around a crowd, but then again, crowds give you anxiety. They you know, make you nervous. I'm an ambivert. One part of me being an ambivert is, you know, in some cases, being socially anxious around a crowd of people. Always looking around. Always trying to figure out where, who's where, and who's why, and what, and don't go over there and this, that, and the third. Being afraid to be around people. Especially people that you don't know. Social anxiety. It's a big deal. And some people don't understand. It's like, you're such a outgoing person. You're such a, you know, you're such a social butterfly. You're such a nice person. You don't know a stranger. This, that, and the third. Here's the deal. Things can change based on experience or experiences that you've had. Things change in a great way, in a major way. I know for a fact, you know, that over the last couple of years, I've developed a bit of social anxiety, where I'm not trying to be the life of the party. I'm just excited to be there. I'm at some event and somebody shouts me out. Now I'm just kind of like, oh, don't do that. Like, I appreciate it, but at the same time, like. Where when I was younger, it was just like, you better shout me out. You better say that I'm here, because I'm here and I'm going to make sure you know I'm here. Now it's just like, okay, all right, appreciate it. Thanks for the love. Don't let anybody know that I'm here. Socially anxious. I can't help it at times. But, you know, it is what it is. It happens, you know. Show of hands, I know you can't see me and I can't see you. How many people deal with social anxiety? Where they're scared to be around people. They're scared to, you know, be this, as this is characterized. Social phobia or social anxiety disorder is an anxiety disorder characterized by overwhelming anxiety and excessive self-consciousness in everyday social situations. Social phobia can be limited to only one type of situation, such as fear of speaking in formal or informal situations, or eating or drinking in front of others, or in its most severe form, may be so broad that a person experiences symptoms almost any time they're around other people. What does this sound close to? What's this sound close to? Panic disorder. The shortness of breath, dizziness, or abdominal distress. When you're around people and you feel sick to your stomach because you don't want to be here, but they're making you be here and you have to be here. People keep walking up to you. And it feels like people are staring at you, and they're not staring at you at all. They don't care about your outfit. They don't care what you look like, but you feel like they're staring at you. Yeah. Totally me. What if they see a spot on my shirt? What if they see something on me that shouldn't be there? What if they're judging me? What if I'm being talked about behind my back? I don't want to go to that event because I don't want to be treated differently. I don't want to be treated like an outcast. I don't want to go to I don't want to be around these people because I just don't. Some people won't understand, especially if you were a social butterfly at some point. But you're probably asking, how do I combat this? How do I get over some of these things? Well, I'll tell you how I get over them. One of the main things I do is I just try to clear my mind ahead of time. I try to do something that takes my mind off of thinking about what I have to do next. If you ever seen me coach before a basketball game, like coach before I coach a game, I'm usually playing some type of brain game. One of my favorite games is two dots. You got to connect these different dots and, you know, get points and collect the different color dots and break ice and do all this other stuff. That's one of my favorite games, two dots. Or I like doing crossword puzzles before games. Or I read. I listen to music or some type of some of my friends' podcasts before a game. Some suggestions, shameless plugs for some of our friends. Dark Sugar Podcast is one podcast that I definitely listen to a lot ahead of time, even before I even do a show myself. Dark Sugar Podcast and High Tea Podcast are some shows that I listen to. Kayla Got the 411, Feezy Under Grace. Those are shows that I listen to a lot just ahead of time before I do anything. I try to listen to them. If I don't listen to them ahead of time, I try to listen to them after I get done or at some point during the week. But they are they're part of my mental health journey. They're part of, you know, combating my own anxiety. So I encourage you, listen to a podcast. Do something that clears your mind. Play a brain game that takes your mind off of what's causing you a lot of anxiety. You'll be amazed the clarity of thought that you get playing one of those games, or doing a crossword puzzle, or listening to music, or listening to a podcast, or writing, or whatever. Another thing that I do is I like to walk. I like to exercise, because exercising, it causes me to, you know, also kind of put things in perspective. Sometimes you have to be in a situation where you put things in perspective. You change your perspective, your perception of things. You know, I don't look right. I don't do this. It changes your perspective. It just really changes everything. So walking, exercising, quiet time. Take a nap. Go to sleep. If you're tired, be quiet and go to sleep. I'm sorry, I had a moment. Sorry. Okay. But, you know, take a nap. Close your eyes. Play some soft music. Change the energy in the room. But one of the biggest things is prayer. Pray. Sometimes you just need to ask the Lord, listen, Lord, I need help. My anxiety is through the roof. I don't know what's next. I don't know why I'm thinking the way that I'm thinking. I don't know why I'm anxious. But Lord, I need your help. As I close, I want to leave you with this scripture. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible says this. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and petition, prayer and supplication. Make all your requests known to God. Whatever that you are going through mentally, whatever is causing you to have copious amounts of anxiety, give it to God. Pray about it. Think on it. And try to do this. Think about those things that are, you know, good and honest and pure and Justin, or of good report. You'll be amazed what happens when you give those anxious thoughts and those anxious feelings and those anxious actions, say those three times fast, to God. And you pray about it. I don't mean to be deeply religious. I don't mean to be, you know, deeply religious and, you know, thump a Bible on top of your head, but I'm just letting you know prayer works, y'all. It certainly works. Whenever you need something, he's always there. You need peace of mind, he's there. If you need healing, he's there. So I encourage you, find those things as you go into your weekend. Find those things that are causing you anxiety. Pinpoint them. Look at those. Go, like, this is what's been bothering me. Find those ways to combat that anxiety. What am I going to do to make sure that I am better? What will I do? What steps will I take? What moves will I make? I guarantee you that you'll feel better once you take those steps. You won't have to be so anxious. Hey, listen, thank you for joining the show today. Don't forget to follow the show page and my personal page. The show page is 22_podcast. That is 22_podcast on Instagram. And my personal page at AlexJ_live. That is AlexJ_live. Please don't forget, the 22 podcast has merch. That's on 22apparel.threadless.com. That is 22apparel.threadless.com. See you soon.